The Ford F-150 truck helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. New features like the available Pro Access tailgate improves access to bed and cargo, including when towing a trailer, so it's easier to load in tight spaces. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions. Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast, the Masters Class. And today we have a very special edition for the first time ever live in front of the Busted Open Nation. We do our Masters Class at Xfinity Live right before WrestleMania 40, and it's all about Philadelphia. You don't want to miss it. Myself, Tommy Dreamer, Bully Ray, Mark Henry, right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Does it ever get old for you guys to hear the ECW chants?
Never ever till the day I die. When I die, I want you all to chant it in my name. Thank you so much.
Listen, if I live you, I will scream that shit as loud as I can, but it might not be likely.
All right, well, first of all, thank you guys for coming out there. Thank you for supporting Busted Open for the last 15 years. How many people here are from Philadelphia? All right.
I know y'all got criminal records.
Well, this is the first time in 15 years that we are going to be doing a master's class in front of the Busted Open Nation. So you guys are a part of history and a first time ever live master's class. So thank you for coming out to do this.
Wait, on the count of three, hi, Uncle Bully. One, two, three.
Hi, Uncle Bully!
Not bad. Not bad. Now, the topic for our master's class, gentlemen, I don't even know if you guys know because we didn't discuss it. It's about the Philadelphia fans. Did we talk about it a little bit today? Just a little bit today. But wrestling in Philadelphia. So I got to tell you right now, being here in Philly these last couple of days has been awesome. You guys are tremendous. And I really do feel that this year's WrestleMania is going to be the greatest WrestleMania of all time.
You know what, you can't talk about wrestling in Philadelphia without the crowds in Philadelphia. And you can clap for yourself. Before we do that, like there's been a large history since I started in 95. The fans would always go against in Philly what they saw on television. Is that something that y'all email or call us, write each other, send a text message, fax, smoke signal or something? Like, hey, if they say cheer, we're going to boo. Do y'all do that?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, why?
Wait, but hold on, Mark. Just to play devil's advocate, they had to cheer for Donovan McNabb all those years. That had to be tough. Cheering for Donovan McNabb. So,
hey,
you gotta give him a little bit.
I'm a Cowboy fan. No. You're gonna stop this. Damn it, I'm gonna take my ball and go home. Like, two of my favorite players of all time were Eagles. Brian Dawkins.
Chasing the hug.
I'm not chasing the hug. I love Brian Dawkins. I love him. Listen, No, Reggie White. Reggie Jackson. Okay, y'all can beat
Who
him up.
Who said Reggie Jackson?
He said Reggie Jackson.
Stand up. Stand up.
Parking garage.
Boo.
Going off of that.
Oh, wait, hold on 1 second. Just so everyone knows, Tommy's favorite football team, the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles.
The flavor of the month.
Well, we'll get a, but the you fucked up chant, right? What I think about Philadelphia fans, I think about honesty. Back in the day, I wish Ricky Martin was here because this was the first town that booed the Rock and Roll Express and cheered the Midnight Express. And this is like from a wrestling's point, fan's point of view, me growing up, I was like, wait, why is this different? And okay, different is exactly that, okay. If you messed up, what happens in baseball? You give up a home run because Philly fans boo you. Again, history, throwing snowballs at Santa Claus because the Eagles were that bad.
Well, listen, also to be fair, you know, Donovan McNabb would throw up in the huddle, but Tony Romo would piss and shit his pants. So I guess in that case, it's okay. But no, but seriously,
I think the Eagles are the only team in the league that's got a jail in the stadium.
Well, all right, so wait, so let me ask you guys this, because I would be the first one to say, and Bully, you backed me up on this a couple weeks back on the air. Like, Madison Square Garden to me was the mecca of professional wrestling, but over the years, it's become very corporate, and it's more of a suit and tie audience at Madison Square Garden. Is that the same thing with the Link, or is it the same type of crowd that used to go to Veterans Stadium back in the day?
Same crowd.
So for that, you guys got my respect for that, for sure.
Did you ever wrestle in the Spectrum?
Did y'all?
No.
So I went to the Spectrum in 95, and I thought that I was going to die. Like, hey, when you pulled your car up to the back of that damn building, you could get mugged. It was a tough... Did y'all parents used to hold y'all hand like, hey, do not leave me. Like, bro, it... Stop it. Yo, part two of my killing spree gonna start in Philly. Oh, shit.
You know what, Mark? It's funny you say that because when it comes to Tommy and it comes to Bully, that ECW arena, it's only about 3 miles from where we are right now. I mean, those guys, that was like family when you guys would be in the ECW arena, right?
And you know what's crazy about the arena is the ECW arena in Philadelphia reminds me of Frank Sinatra's New York, New York, because if you could make it there, you could make it anywhere. And it was probably the toughest crowd that I ever performed in. I mean, the first year that I spent in ECW, I was stuttering, I was dancing, I was a goofball, I was juggling, and the place loved me. They would chant, dance, Bubba dance, and they loved the stutter and all that happy horse shit. And then one night I had to wrestle, and they were like, oh, you suck. And overnight, they revolted on me. They're like, die, Bubba, die. I mean, seriously, they held up a giant bed sheet that said, die, Bubba, die. And I was like, ooh, I got to rethink this stuff.
All right, but let me...
We were the opposite. Like, they accepted me, I think mainly because they hated John Cena.
Yeah, there you go.
You're probably right. So, Bully, let me ask you... When you saw that, seriously, what was going through your mind when you're seeing people shouting at you that you suck, when you're seeing Die bullied? Like, what were you thinking in that moment?
I have to find a partner to hide behind. No, you have to earn their respect in some way, shape, or form. And the way me and D-Von, I feuded against D-Von when he first came in, was the way we earned the ECW arena's fan base's respect is we beat the shit out of each other for 6 months before we got together, and that's how we earned their respect. Tommy, the same way. The ECW arena fans or the ECW faithful didn't want to really accept Tommy until he said, "Thank you, sir. May I have another?" And they're like, "Wow, look at this! What this guy is willing to do for our entertainment."
Thank you, Tommy. Oh, thank you. It goes back. It honestly goes back to what I said: honesty. Bully, you weren't that good, and you got exposed. I'm not saying it as an insult.
I was the shits.
Mark Henry, when he first came out, like, you were okay. They were using you to wanting to push you, but to get to the point where you got. And if it wasn't for those reactions, guys, we're all here for what? A great main event. And what was it? Die, Rocky, die. The honesty of the fans of, we are not accepting this. For myself, I literally used to go like this, and fans would pull their hands out, and they'd pull them away. And I'd be like, ugh, that was on television. It crushed me. It crushed me because I was like, I was really good looking, and like I thought this is what I was supposed to be. And you know, we joke about, especially for this body that I currently have, but I once, 5 years, I did not miss one day of the gym. Me and Taz, because what did we have? Self-image issues. I was too small to make it at 6'3", 245 pounds. Because I went to the WWE and I was like, oh my God, everybody's big. Guys, I was never a person who used steroids. I will literally dive in barbed wire, but I can't stick a needle in my own fat ass. I'm sorry. And like, I just couldn't do that. And for Taz, I was too small. And we wanted to make this so, so bad. And like, Paul Heyman gave me every opportunity, but then you have your veterans like Terry Funk, and he pulled me aside. And I've said this story before, but he was like, just be yourself. And if you're real to people, they will be real back to you. And I was just like, wow, that is such a prolific statement. And then he said, grow a goatee, you're good looking. It will make you look tougher. And then, like a true Nostradamus that he was, he goes, and when you're my age, it'll hide your double chin. But these are things that you don't, when I tell you, like, I was a good-looking kid, I used to go in the mirror and punch myself as hard as I could till I bled, or because I wanted my eyes to be like Terry Funk's, to look like I was tougher. I didn't know that was called old age. But I used to go do that, or taking sandpaper to your face. I don't recommend anyone do this, but like to show that I got beat up in a parking lot, because that's what wrestlers used to do, and being like, oh, this hurts.
Or go to a friend and tell them, hey man, like hit me like right here, like hard as you can.
In Mick Foley's book, he was like, I'll hardway you. Okay, you're Mick Foley telling me you're gonna hardway me. I could just punch you here. After like 20 real punches and I'm not bleeding, and he's said it so nicely in his book where I just said, can you please stop punching me? Because 20 real punches to your face and you're not bleeding, just to prove how much I love you guys. And I just want, as Bully says, you're chasing the hug, but I just wanted you to love me back. Thankfully, the Sandman angle, and I remember the first hit, second hit, third hit, fourth hit, fifth hit, Tommy, just stay down. And those same people who were laughing were standing ovation for me. And it, guys, I have scars all over my body. I also have stretch marks, but those, I wear them proud because it helped me get to where I am. It helped me get to this stage. I will do it all over again 20 times over. But that's the pay your dues process. But that's, Dave, you and I have been together all day. I've probably been stopped in the street 15, 20 times. Yep. But it's not like, oh my God, it's John Cena. Hey, Dreamer, what's going on? Hey, Dreamer, you getting a cheesesteak? Hey, Dreamer, hey, can we take a quick picture? Because I am one of you guys. I've wanted to be this since I was 10 years old. And I don't have many more matches left, but I'm going to continue to beat, abuse, and entertain until I have nothing left, because this is all I've ever wanted.
Thank you. Philadelphia, I'm going to let you get it out. Get it out. Don't save it. All right, y'all done? Okay. So Philadelphia, in my opinion, is number one when it comes to the most passionate crowd. There's about four crowds that everybody goes, oh shit, I gotta bring my A-game. And that's Madison Square Garden, Philadelphia, Houston, in Los Angeles. Chicago too, but Chicago is, is the Rosemont, I used to go in, but no. I wanted to show out in Los Angeles because all the stars were out there. Yeah, you got Ice Cube hanging out at ringside and shit. But Philly, I knew that it was gonna be easy. Because all I had to do was take an ass whooping. All I had to do was give one. Stories come and go. We talk about psychology and stuff making sense and connecting the dots. That means a lot in wrestling. That don't mean shit in Philly. If you ain't a grown ass man out there, I've seen them boo guys that was 10 times better than me. But they were like, brother, easy. Like, those guys don't succeed in Philly. I don't know how y'all can see through their ass, but y'all know who is, you know, for lack of a better term, soft as tissue paper. You know who they are. And I never wanted to come off to this fan base or New York or Houston or L.A. like that. And Lafayette, Louisiana is underrated, too. The Cajun Dome, those people, they mean. I mean, Junkyard Dog almost bled to death, like blood squirting out every time his heart beat. And they were like, boo, get up! It's like, what the hell?
A quick Los Angeles story. This was when they did the Super Show. And they just had this little curtain. It was a live event, but it was a Super Show, both brands. And I'm trying to watch the matches through the curtain, and this one friggin' guy is, like, in front of me, and, like, I'm like, he's not a wrestler. I said, excuse me, sir, can you move? He turns around. I was like, hi, can I please watch the match? Arsenio Hall, right? And then he goes, hey, Tommy, do you know where Mark is? And I'm like, he's in the back. He goes, man, I love wrestling since Bobo Brazil back in the day. And then all of a sudden, somebody bumps me here. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Academy Award winner Michael Clark Duncan. And he's like, you know where Mark is? And I'm like, friggin', how many more people know who Mark is?
Michael Clark Duncan legitimately tried to hook up with my ex-girlfriend. He's like, Bubba.
I can believe it.
He really did. He's like, Bubba, is she with you? I'm like, yeah. He's like, are you sure?
That was
my brother, man. I was one of his pallbearers. I talked to his family all the time still. For those that watch, don't know who Michael Clark Duncan is, he was the guy in the Green Mile that played John Coffey. A real wrestling fan. The entire Raw, he would do curls with 45-pound dumbbells, the whole show, 3 hours. Okay, let me do a couple of presses, just break it up. Okay, back at it. Like, he used Raw as a means to work out because it inspired him so much. And I was like, bro, are you serious? He said, man, if you ever off, you can come watch me work out. I was like, no, I'm not coming to watch you work out.
He must have hated when it went to 3 hours.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't get to see that.
Now, one thing I love about the master's class and is that really is a, it's a teaching tool, not only for the Busted Open Nation and the fans, but also for wrestlers as well. Like, you always extend the invitation. And we've know, like, Carmelo Hayes is somebody who listens on a weekly basis. And, you know, the fact that you
Sean Dean.
Sean Dean. The fact that you guys kind of do that. And you know, not a lot of people do that, where you will just pass it on to that next generation. Is that something, is that like a brotherhood and a sisterhood that wrestlers do for that next generation of pro wrestlers? And do you guys think...
You're supposed to.
Okay.
You're supposed to pass it along. Like, I mean, have you ever seen a Brinks truck at a funeral? When you die, you can't take it with you. Like, with wrestling, it's the same thing. The art, the understanding of it, you cannot take that to the grave with you. You got to find at least one or two young boys. And when I say young boys, when I came into wrestling in 95, like, I had to drive Yokozuna. I had to drive the car. If he told my ass to go get a bucket of chicken, it was not, hey, man, how many pieces you want? Just fuck go. Hurry up. And I told Bully the story. I had a dark match, and I'm putting my boots on, and I got one boot on, and Yoko said, threw me the keys. Mark, go get me a bucket of chicken. And I was like, I'm in a dark match. He said, you better hurry up. Shit. I go to the drive-thru. I'm like, man, hurry. I get back. My music is playing. I'm hopping to the damn ring with one boot on. Like, you didn't ask questions. It was like, that was your, when you got in the car, hey, you too big to be letting people push you around. You know, like, they would give you little tricks of the trade, and that don't go on as much as it used to. Now we got the master's class. Is there any wrestlers that came? So we invited wrestlers. There's no fucking way that there shouldn't be at least one or two guys that wrestled, that heard our voice, because they listened to the show. And some of them, granted, they at WrestleCon making a dollar. I ain't mad. But there's somebody that's not over yet that should be here. Just saying.
Hey, look, Terry Funk had no reason to come up to me and talk to me. And he always said this, and I would be like, Terry, for all the stuff I used to do, he would always say this about me. He always saw me picking up after the locker room, cleaning it up. And he goes, you were smart enough to realize that if we lose this building, this thing called ECW is not going to grow. I was always blessed to have veterans in a time and an industry, and all three of us, they did not want us to succeed. They wanted us to fail. When you got called up or if you went, it was dog eat dog world, and we're trying to kick you out. And that's why I've always, you know, kind of been trying to help, just because of how nice people were to me. And, you know, it should be. And now the business is a little different. But, I mean, I hear it from people when I go and do indies, all that stuff. Like, I listen to the master's class on this. It was great. Thank you. All that stuff.
So Tommy was Terry Funk. I was Yoko. Who was your old school mentor?
There wasn't any one particular person, but I got to hang out with Heyman enough to learn from Paul, as Tommy did, as Taz did. One of the things that I would do is eavesdrop on Tommy, Sandman, and Raven. They would put stuff together. They would do nothing in the ring. There was no wrestling. As a matter of fact, they all suck, to be quite honest. And I suck worse than them. But I'm really good with smoke and mirrors. But I would listen to them put matches together. The art of the roller coaster ride, the art of layering, the art of the run-in, the art of distraction, the art of setting something up and then using it later, the art of taking you by the throat when you least expected it, the art of, I think something is coming, but it's not. I listened to them all day long. And Raven was a fucking genius. So, so smart. Doing absolutely, and what I'm about to say is gonna sound weird, but at the end of the day, it's what this is all about. The master of doing absolutely nothing but being the star of the show. Yes or no?
You go watch him in the corner, the way he would flick back his hair to show if he was bloody. Sometimes how he would just lift up his foot to show that he still had some sort of fight. But if you go back and you watch a lot of these, and like it's, we call it layering, Stevie and Meany and Beulah, Francine, everybody who it was layered in excitement for the fans. And just like Bully said, we're here and then we're going to take it away just to give it back to you. It was, and at the end result was, so I could beat Dreamer.
Jerry Lynn.
So I'm so high to go so low.
Heyman kept me and Devon on a fire escape of the Burt Flickinger Center in Buffalo until 5 o'clock in the morning because he said to me, stop memorizing your promo. You're not you right now. He said, just here are your bullet points. Here's the who, what, when, where, why, and how. Now sell me a ticket and tell me a story. And that's the same advice that I try to hand down to younger wrestlers. Don't cut promos. Promos are so fake and phony, and fans see through them today. Fans want to hear you speak from the heart with whatever words come off the top of your head. Fans don't care if you stammer or stutter or you trip over a word, because when you're arguing with your significant other or you're arguing with your friends, when you get heated and passionate, not everything comes out perfectly. But if you stop talking in the promo, you're telling the fan base, shit, I just fucked up. Just keep going. Nobody's gonna know any better. So there's so many little things that I stole from other wrestlers. I learned from other wrestlers. Bam Bam Bigelow taught me how to work like a big man. But it's not like Bam Bam sat me down and took me to class. He would give me, Marcus, do this. Marcus, don't do that. Try it this way. little hits here and there. And that's how you learn in this business. And you talked about the passing down.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, I believe we have a generation of wrestlers who know it all.
Well, I mean, and I want to go, there's two things that you guys brought up that I want to ask about.
Telephone.
Number one, Tommy, you mentioned about Terry Funk coming up to you and thanking you about cleaning up after the show because, hey, I want to go back and use this building again. It's funny when, and everybody's, and we've talked about it, Bully, we did a whole show on it, what CM Punk said to Ariel Helwani, and he mentioned Jungle Boy. And Jungle Boy wanted to smash the windshield of a rent-a-car. And one thing that CM Punk said was like, why would you want to do that to a rent-a-car? If you do that, then we're never going to be able to go back to that chain of rent-a-car and get cars ever again, because you're going to smash the windshield. Like, I don't, as a fan, I don't even, my mind doesn't even go that way. But as you guys, as you're, it is a traveling machine. You're dependent on venues. You're dependent on rent-a-car dealerships. Like, that's how you're going to travel from city to city. That's where you're going to house your shows. Something as simple as cleaning up after yourself or not doing damage to a rent-a-car, that goes a long way, because that's the backbone of your survival as a company. Am I right or wrong?
Some people think, oh, it's other people's money. Like, when you think it's other people's money, you tend to don't give a shit. But if you come from not ever having nothing, like, you know, a lot of us had a lot of love. We had a lot of people support us. But, man, I grew up, we have a pot to piss in, a window to throw it out of. You know, so, like, I valued everything I had, everything I worked for. So people that like that, that's, you know, maybe they family was on 90210 and had plenty of money. Shit, my folks, I'm being real. I ain't worried about nobody with my ass. It's gonna be a surprise. That's the biggest surprise on earth when I get my ass whooped, because I don't wake up thinking that's gonna happen. I think that. I'm saying I would never think that way. I'm going to go break something because I know my boss will fix it. I would never think that way. Like, I don't hang out with people that think like that.
Yeah. I even put myself in that scenario. I said to myself, what if I, at this stage of the game, was Jungle Boy and Punk told me, Bubba, don't do that. I would look at him and go, who the fuck are you to tell me not to do something? But if he would have reminded me, Bubba, the rental car company, you're going to fuck it up for us, blah, 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 I'd be like, Phil, you're right.
You're right.
Absolutely, you're right. I didn't even think of that in this moment in time. Thank you. But yeah, he's absolutely right. There's no like this taking sides on social media. Oh, we don't like Punk because he left us and he shouldn't say that about Jungle Boy. There's right and there's wrong. And in that particular story,
sometimes you gotta explain it.
CM Punk is 1,000% right. 1,000%. And plus, why use real glass? It's stupid.
You guys just applauded. When you're watching, do you know if it's real glass or not glass? There's your litmus test, world.
It makes sense.
Another part of what you say, you know, we're driving around here. We passed the old travel lodge, and I said, oh, ECW got thrown out of there. We had maybe 6 arrests, legit, 3 deaths. Where we were finally told we can't be there anymore. There, the Delta Hotel, where I stayed there 2 weeks.
It took 3 deaths.
Yes.
After two, it was okay, but a third, that was over the line.
Guys, this is your third
deals.
Strike.
Hey, 3 strikes, you're
the
out.
First one didn't count, but then it was 2 kids drowned in a pool because their parents were partying with the wrestlers, and the 2 kids drowned. So, yeah. Real stories, look them up. The Delta Hotel, we stayed there. I just went back and I'm like, this is the DoubleTree. I hope they don't remember us, because a giant glass statue, it's a circular hotel, went from the 8th floor to the bottom. And thankfully no one was killed. Marriott banned at the airport for a brawl.
Chicago. Chicago, it's Rosemont Horizon.
A brawl.
The hotel.
Kayfabe.
Some well, let me guy just finish kissed my me on the mouth. He left in an ambulance. Yes or no?
Yes.
That was the one time I went and visited when I was in ECW, and I went and visited Bully at the bar. That was a bad thing. And then the casino that says live, that was the old Holiday Inn. 2 deaths there. Legit, banned. If we are a traveling circus, where the hell are we going to sleep the next time ECW rolls into business? So we're glad that it has expanded. Oh, yeah, we got kicked out of the Red Roof and the courtyard that's up by the Wawa. No deaths, those guys, but a few arrests.
Philadelphia, motherfuckers, Philadelphia.
Hang on, but if you also think about the importance, history, all right? We're a history buff, some of us, most of us. If you go back and you watch old WWF, where did the titles change take place? Pedro Don Morocco, let's go to Philadelphia. The Samoans, let's go to Philadelphia. Tony Gurria, Rick Martel, the title change happened on television, but it was... where they won him was, it was always Philadelphia for some reason.
Was it Philadelphia or was it Allentown?
No, but I'm just saying they used to always go to Philadelphia when something special would happen. And I think that's also part of the Philadelphia, is it lexicon a word? Is that a real word? Or am I making that up?
It's easy, Cody.
Stop. Another thing.
And hang on, technically, Bully and D-Von are my young boys because I got them into ECW, so.
How many Hall of Fame rings you got?
All right. I still learn. I learned from you guys, and I said this on the show yesterday, but I learned from you not only when it comes from the wrestling knowledge and again, the unique perspective that the nation gets and I get by having three people on this stage right now that have all been a part of WrestleMania that we're going to enjoy this weekend here in Philadelphia. But, you know, Bully, Tommy and I cut promos on each other promoting the show today. And it's funny, I asked Bully, I said, Bully, how was my promo? He goes, if I was going to rate it from a scale from 1 to 10, I would give it an 8. I go, only an 8? He goes, yes, and here's why. And he explained, to me why it was a good promo, but it was not nearly a great promo. And I was listening to Bully, and I'm like, by the time you were done talking, I was like, man, how you're 100% right. It's just like any story. You don't go to the end at the beginning. You start. You build it. You build it. It's like a staircase going up, up to the final second of the promo. And I learned so much from that little, you know, critique that you gave me during the break yesterday.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's Bully Ray.
Do you know who I am?
I talk pro wrestling, and I play rock and roll.
Yeah!
Every Wednesday night, as soon as AEW Dynamite ends, I'm bringing you instant reactions with the Busted Open Nation.
It's Wednesday! You know what that means!
The only place to party is Busted Open After Dark. With me, Uncle Bully, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation 156 and on the SiriusXM app.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Busted Open under podcast when you sign up. Busted Open under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. When you hear that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, you're probably thinking, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overage. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. It's crystal clear, and it doesn't kill my monthly budget. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Since we're all together, and Dave, these are your people, can I have a show of hands? All those in favor of this, the main event, Roman Reigns retained. Please raise your hands.
Ooh.
Throw those ones up.
Hey, listen.
Now, hang on.
All right.
No, I'm just, this is wins, losses. All of the, Cody needs to finish the story at WrestleMania. Yeah.
Get down, drunkie.
All right. Interesting.
You would, if it was a lady that said that, I'd be like, all right. Well, but it just happened to be Mr. Neckbeard.
I'm gonna say this, Tommy, and I was at the Pennsylvania Convention Center before the start of today's shows. I went with Big Boss Man Eddie Priscilli, who I know is somewhere in the room right now. A ton of fans, ton of Busted Open Nation members, a lot of people that are going to be going to our party on Saturday from 2 to 4 at the ECW Arena. But one of the highlights for me is there was a huge Rock fan, had the Rock t-shirt, the Rock jacket, the hat, the whole deal. And him and I hugged. Because I don't have any problem with the Rock's fans or Roman's fans. My problem is with the Rock.
He from Philly.
Now, my problem was with The Rock because when it comes to the fans of The Rock, I get it. I understand. The Rock has given us a lot over the years. But guys, I got to tell you something. The Rock that you see on your TV right now, that is not the same Rock that you fell in love with in the Attitude Era. That is not the same Rock that wrestled John Cena at WrestleMania 28 and 29. Let me tell you something about The Rock. All right? Let me tell you something about The Rock. Now, when it comes to Dave LaGreca, Bully Ray, Mark Henry, Tommy Dreamer, everybody that's a part of Busted Open, they bust their ass on a daily basis for you, for each and every one of you, for the fans, for the loyal Nation members that listen to us on Sirius XM, that listen to the podcast, that watch us on YouTube. And I appreciate that because they put in the work. They put in the blood, sweat, and tears. These people that are sitting in these chairs are as loyal as I am and as loyal as you are. One thing The Rock doesn't understand when it comes to pro wrestling right now in 2024, he completely forgot everything that was going on the last 2 years in this company. Let me say something, I think you all would agree. The WWE, we're gonna celebrate 15 years. What, Bully, for 13 out of those 15 years, I would rant and rave about WWE creative being so bad, how they don't dot the I's, they don't cross the T's. That has not been the last 24 months when it comes to this company. They are firing on all cylinders. WrestleMania 39, the biggest WrestleMania of all time. WrestleMania 40 is gonna be the greatest and the biggest WrestleMania of all times. That son of a bitch thought he was just gonna walk right in and be in the main event. Just like every fucking corporate stooge in America. It doesn't matter if it's Sirius XM. It doesn't matter if it's Joe's Garage. It doesn't matter if it's the fucking ShopRite. There's some corporate stooge that thinks that they're just gonna come walk right in and take all the credit of all the hard work that you do, 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 you do, you do, and everybody here does. So this isn't just about the American nightmare. It's about the American dream. It's about you busting your ass, making a living, having a family. So fuck The Rock, fuck The Rock, fuck The Rock, fuck The Rock.
Dave, bring me that oxygen. He needs it.
Keep it. It's yours. Keep it. It's yours. Keep it. It's yours. I am sick and... Thank you. I am sick and tired of people thinking that they can make a living off of our backs, off of our hard work, I'm sick and tired of it. That is not what this country was built on. Corporate fucking stooges. And I said it in my promo. I said this. I said, The Rock, board member of TKO. The Rock, a boss. And then he comes on, makes fun of me in my pink robe, which I'll be wearing at our party on Saturday. And everyone will be wearing too. He made fun of me, and he said, what did he say? He goes, it's not about me being on the board of TKO. It's not about me being boss, you jack off. That's what he said to me. 5 minutes later, he's talking about how he's on the board and he's a boss. So fuck The Rock. Fuck The Rock. Fuck The Rock. Son of a bitch, bastard, fuck. I hope Cody beats his ass on Sunday.
So if this is your PSA, Dave, this is your PSA, don't be a Dwayne.
But The Rock brings more eyes to the front.
Let me tell you something.
Guys, why? I had us out. I had a clean
why?
Out. I gave us an exit.
Here's your chance to improve your promo and go from an 8 to a 10.
Here's the thing, though, Bully. It's me. I can't start slow and build up.
Go ahead. Hammer him. Well, he's got the last word on you, LaGreca.
That's all right. No disrespect. I love you, too. But this company was doing perfectly fine without The Rock, and it will be... And let me tell you something. What, do you think The Rock's sticking around? Do you think The Rock is going to be on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown every week? The answer to that is no, because he's got to make Black Adam 2 and lose the whole superhero universe another $500 million. I'm done. Because I don't think there's anything else that I have to say.
Great argument.
And I'm going to say this. I wore the pink robe. I'm not going to knock the drink over. Don't worry about it. I wore that pink robe the Monday after that SmackDown when Dwayne Johnson, board member of TKO, pulled it away from Cody Rhodes. Now, everyone here, who's going to the party on Saturday? Now, we are going to pass out pink robes, right? Big Boss Man Eddie Bracilli, we're passing out pink robes on Saturday? Saturday or Sunday? Both. Both Saturday and Sunday, we're passing out pink robes. Now, whether you're a fan of Cody, whether you're a fan of Roman, or whether you're a fan of The Rock, that doesn't matter. You're all members of the Busted Open Nation, and I love all of you. I would hope that you're going to wear your pink robes when they're given to you on Saturday and Sunday, because it's not just about the story. It's not just about The Rock. That is a representation of this show and a representation of Dave LaGreca. So I hope that you show your support and wear your pink robe.
I cannot wait for Cody to do the job. Is that a banana peel? Woo!
Well, let me ask you, Bully. Let me ask you this. Bully, you're the ultimate heel. You're the last of your craft. You're the last of the genius, true professional wrestling heel. How? No, I'm not chasing a hug. I'm giving complete honesty. How do you feel about The Rock only playing a heel sometimes?
Not a fan of it.
Yeah, and I'm not just talking about like, hey, in the world of the WWE, I'm a heel, but outside the WWE, I'm not a heel. Even in the WWE at times, he's chasing the hug.
The night that threw me off was 2 weeks ago in Memphis. Like, I was like, wait a minute. I'm supposed to hate you, but you're being extremely entertaining. You're playing up to the crowd. You're telling 20,000 people that this is where I got my start. I get it. It's sports entertainment. He's a big megastar. But if you want Cody to get over to where this company needs Cody to be, Rock and Roman have to be heels 100% of the time. That's just my opinion. It's a very old school mentality, but old school works. It's worked for 100 years, and it's gonna work for 100 other more years. So that night really threw me off. I understand he does his thing on his social media. He's got a multi-gazillion dollar company and all this, but the Memphis night just had me scratching my head. I thought he was setting Memphis up because, okay, yeah, he's going to be nice to Memphis because that's where he started with Jerry Lawler, and I performed down the road at the, right, I performed down the road at the flea market, and this place will always be so special, and yada, yada, build it up, build it up, build it up, and then stick that knife so deep into their hearts, twist it, pull it out, and then put salt on it. Didn't happen. That's what I would have did.
He tried to get it back the next week, but to me, it was just too late.
You're not going to stop the pop he gets when he comes out, because cities are seeing him for the first time in a long time. So naturally, they're going to be like, oh, my God, this is so awesome. And his entrance is, I mean, it's amazing. And the way they're shooting it from the other side of the arena. And what is it like? It looks like Thanos. Like people have talking about like how Thanos would enter the building or something like that. But once you get in the ring, you can control them. And to act like a babyface and so close to the main, you know, the main event of night one, I just wasn't on board.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
Hey there. I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out that I was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall, a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog. So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.